We hear from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There was a contractor who had been working for quite some time for the same owner, over 20 years, and he had in his time built many houses, and he was almost at retirement or there, and he was really looking forward to spending some more time with his wife and doing some traveling. And the owner of the company came up to him and asked him to build just one more house. Well, the contractor reluctantly said yes, though his heart had already checked out to retirement. I'm not there, but if you've been there, maybe you know what that feels like. He was so tired of working for people who wouldn't keep their promises. And if things weren't just exactly right and didn't come out right, he was very attentive to his building and the quality. Well, so he worked on the house. And he began with his attitude to cut corners, and if it wasn't perfect, he'd just tell the guys to just nail it, it'll be okay. He would compromise on the supplies and didn't look for the best quality, just whatever they had. And he had finally was done, and he came to his boss, and he said, "That's it. I'm leaving. I'm retiring. I'm out of here." And the owner looked at him and said, "Thank you for your many years of faithfulness. Here are the keys to the new house you just built."
Yeah.
Well, there is no shortcut to faithfulness, and God didn't take one either. And so just like the contractor who got a gift he never expected, Jesus too was the gift the world never expected. We continue in our series as we look at the four characteristics of God, and we've reviewed God is expectant, God is dangerous, God is jealous, and today we hear of a God who is faithful. And each week we have looked at two passages, and one from the Old and one from the New Testament, not only revealing God himself, but pointing us to the hope and peace and love and joy given to us in Jesus. Jesus, God under wraps. So the question to consider is, what does it mean to be faithful? Well, a couple of thoughts. It means to be trustworthy, maybe in a transaction or a business transaction, or in the execution of commands, like a leader. It means to be trustworthy in duties and responsibilities, or in a bond of relationship. Someone who is faithful is someone who makes a promise and keeps it. Now, we've probably all been on the end of a broken promise. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, probably at one time or another. Now, it can be as simple as someone showing up for an appointment and or a package not being shipped on time. You could blame the UPS driver, right? Or someone who commits to something and just doesn't follow through. When we had the snowstorm the past couple weeks, I, of course, got the snowblower out on that day and realized as I started it up, all this black started spewing out of the front of it, and it was the belt or the paddles. And so I had to get a part. Now, it took me, I will say, you know how the roads were? Well, I made my way to Oxford after a phone call to the place there, I won't name their name, and he said, "Yes, we have the part." And I said, "Good, could you have it ready for me?" And gave my name. He said, "Yes." So I arrived, and I got there. Sorry about that. And the gal who helped me, went back and looked, and the bin was empty. and the part wasn't there. So holding my composure, I did let them know I had called and wasn't extremely happy about that. Found another place, but I had to drive all the way to Waterford through the back roads. So I spent 4.5 hours. I could have shoveled the driveway, right? A broken promise can also be more personal. It can be an employee who is disloyal or a boss who forgets your Christmas bonus. It can be a friend who quits calling or a neighbor who stops visiting. The most difficult is a broken promise of love, of a spouse who is dishonest, a parent who abuses a child, a son or a daughter who have lost their way. It usually means we have in some way been let down or feel forgotten. There's a phrase, and I think it came from C.S. Lewis, but something like this. It's not exactly, but these are my words. If you've ever been hurt, then you've put too much trust in people while having too little faith in God. Not saying you shouldn't trust people, but we need faith in God more. Now, if you have pets, who can you trust the most, really? Your dog, right? I mean, yeah, they're just it. So, well, a promise kept shows faithfulness. And like the woman in the video that we saw in the beginning, it's painful to be forgotten. I remember being a young boy and my parents had been divorced and my dad would come and pick us up on weekends and I would sit out and look out the window and I remember the times that I was left in the window when my dad didn't show. Christmas is a time when some may, to a greater degree, experience loneliness or disappointment, or even feel forgotten by God, wondering where He is in the midst of our circumstances. So the second question we consider for the remainder is, do we trust God in His faithfulness? Joy to the world, we sing about it. The lights, the decorations, and people tell us everywhere we go, Merry Christmas. Isaiah spoke to the Israelites a promise of God to return them to joy. The angels came down from heaven to announce to the shepherds that joy had come into the world. And even a humble manger scene, a stable, the smell of poo, as our kids said last week, a faithful husband, a mother with a child in her arms, all say joy has arrived. Everything about Christmas shouts joy to the world. Yet for a moment, can we take our eyes off the child and away from everything that went on in Bethlehem? And maybe for a moment reset our gaze on the one who started it all, who sent the angels, who sent the shepherds, who sent the wise men, and who sent the perfect gift, His Son. So maybe today we can just see a little bit more clear the thread of God's faithfulness. Can we trust God to be faithful? A question in the mind of those who had been left behind in Jerusalem, feeling abandoned by God, looking for assurance that they would never be forgotten. I can't help but think that God had them on His mind when He spoke these words. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts His people and will have compassion. See, during this time was the fall of the city of Jerusalem, and their home, their church, their center of worship had all been destroyed. They had been witnesses to the deportation of thousands, families, husbands, sons, removed from their families, chosen only for their usefulness to go and help build a greater nation, the Babylonian Empire. And those left behind, you see, theirs was a common experience in the face of trying circumstances. Their emotions became their enemy, their questions led to doubt, and their faith had dimmed, losing sight in God's purpose for them. Well, what was their purpose for the nation that was tried and tested? Isaiah tells us in chapter 49, verse 6, I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation will reach the ends of the earth. You see, they were born to be servants of God's vision. They were born to bring light to the salvation to the world, to remain faithful and to glorify God in their lives. Yet they discovered in their wilderness journey, it's not easy being a light bearer of truth. That being a part of God's plan takes great faith. And it reveals this truth to us. When we say yes to God, to living in His will, bigger things will be expected of you. It requires great faith. Israel was being tested. They needed to see that God was still faithful. And their words, or His words, or their words, I'm sorry. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." You see, they weren't singing joy to the world. Maybe you feel that way today. Maybe there's more month than money. Maybe there's a relationship you're hoping to be reconciled. Maybe the news is bad. Maybe your longing for a loved one never ceases. But can I tell you some good news? That Christmas is for you. Because Jesus proves that God is faithful. And the good news for God's people came in the way of His assurance that He had not forgotten them. And I love this passage because He uses the image of a mother's love for their child. Verse 15, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she had born?" No one would deny the depth of a mother's love who had carried her seed, nurtured in her womb through the pains of birth, brings to the world a new life, clinging faithfully to her, hoping never to be forgotten. No one. And certainly no one would dispute God's rhetorical question, "Can a woman forget her nursing child? That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb?" Now the inference here to son is interesting. And I believe it's intentional. Because in Hebrew it means to one who rebuilds, one who is to reestablish. It points first to this nation who is in need of being reestablished, to the state of productivity as the captives are returned and families are reunited again and they begin to flourish, to be reestablished as God's people for the purpose of bringing light to the world, a beacon of hope, hope that would show God's faithfulness. But there also is another inference here to the word son used. Some of the newer devotion or Bibles will translate it as child. But son here also points to another, one who would be born to a loving mother hundreds of years later, to one called Jesus, the Son of God. His answer to the pain and long suffering and the feeling of being forgotten was that He was faithful. And He says, "I am faithfully fulfilling salvation to the world. And I just proved it." And then He goes a step further, if that's not enough. In verse 16, He says, "I've written Your name in the palms of My hands. You're always in My mind." A picture of Jerusalem's walls and ruins. You see, He introduces a second image here. It's the love of a young man for his bride-to-be. In those days, they would inscribe the name of the person, the woman they loved, on their hands. Inscribe, or the word means to engrave. So, in case you had any questions, does God like tattoos? I think God had one. You see, they would have been moved by His words. The thought of their nation's name, Israel, written on God's palm. And each time He opened it, He would not forget. And He says, "I have not forgotten you. When it seems the rest of the world has, I will not forget you. I am faithful." Why? Because He is a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God. And He has been since the beginning. It isn't hard to go back. Adam and Eve, He promised relationship. To Noah, He promised never to destroy creation again in that way. To Abraham, He would be with him wherever he went. And out of him would come a great nation. To Jacob, even though he was deceitful, He kept His promise. To this nation I will not forget you. To Joseph, the step-parent of God, a faithful husband, he promises safe passage. To Mary, he promises a son. God is faithful. Do you still believe that today? We might still ask, where is God's faithfulness in today's world? And how do we unwrap the joy of Christmas with all that is going on around us? Well, I knew you'd ask that question, so I'm going to give you four ways to do that. How's that? We're going to give you four ways to find joy through faithfulness of God. And it's because of His love sent. So you may want to write these down. Because of His love sent, first, God is faithfully fulfilling His promise. Faithfully fulfilling His promise through every believer. When we come to belief and put our trust in Christ, then we receive the Holy Spirit and we are filled with His power and presence, and our work begins. Matthew told the disciples, or Jesus told the disciples, "For it is not you who speak, it is the Spirit of the Father speaking through you." As He was speaking to the prophet Isaiah, the first nation of believers, faithfully fulfilling. As God, the first family, was speaking to the first family of Bethlehem, He still speaks to us today, building the body of Christ. God is faithfully fulfilling His promise to the forgotten through us. Remember when Jesus came, His first words in front of His congregation to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for those who are captive, and recovery to the sight of the blind. And He told His disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." So the question is, how is the good news sending you? Calling you to work, to the work required. His love sent is not just for us. God is faithful, and we are to be as well. Number two, God is faithfully forgiving His children. The angel said to Mary, "You are to give Him the name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sin." Because He knew and knows that people need a Savior today. Maybe someone here needs to hear God's love and forgiveness. Christmas is for those who need a Savior's love. How could a mother not have compassion on a child she is born? How could a loving God not forgive any of His children who are honestly seeking Him to be healed and restored to faith? Joy is found in the redeeming love of Christ, one who restores and returns people to Himself. Matthew 6:14 says, "Forgive us our sins," and we say it in our prayers, "as we forgive those who sin against us." How is the good news of God's faithfulness calling you to forgive first yourself, if need be, and to forgive another? Because of His love sent, God is faithfully forgiving. Shouldn't we be as well? Number three, God is faithfully fixing our messes. I had to make that one real, okay? You ever heard the phrase, "If it's broke," or "If it ain't broke, don't fix it"? Well, not in this case. Because the bad news is, if we're all willing to admit it, we're all broken in some way. The good news is that God is faithfully fixing broken people. And fixing was Jesus' business. He spent most of His time, as you know, with the lost and what the world called hopeless people. Maybe we should too. A person repaired and remained by the love of Jesus shows God's faithfulness. A glow stick in its brokenness becomes useful. The light. When we find Jesus, when we admit our brokenness, our faith becomes a beacon of His faithfulness. You see, our job isn't to fix Him, just to point Him to Jesus. How is the good news of faithfulness calling you to the lost or the brokenhearted? What is the good news that you profess in your faith? Because of His love sent, because of He is faithful, anyone can receive His fixing love and be redeemed by His glory. And lastly, because of His love sent. Interesting that Candace would bring up this in her children's sermon. But it's perfect. God is faithfully everlasting and unchanging, infinite. Hebrews says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means we can trust Him when we fall. We can rely on Him even when we stand tall. He is forever faithful. When we are weak, He is strong. When we are worn, He carries us through. When we are hurting, He is compassionate. When we are wrong, He smiles and teaches us. When we are overwhelmed, He fights for us. When we feel lost or forgotten, He finds us. All because He has faithfully not forgotten His promise. Christmas is for the forgotten. And God, in His faithfulness, proved it in Bethlehem. And later would prove it at the cross. So Advent journey, as it ends today in these moments, is really a journey of faithfulness, both His and ours. And God didn't cut corners, and neither should we. He is always faithful. He is always with us, and He is always Emmanuel. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You for the gift that You give us, for the gift of faith, and for Your perfect gift that opens for us a way to feel joy again. We give You praise for this through Your Son, Jesus Christ. In this Your name we pray. Amen.